Good morning, church, and good morning to the radio audience here in the Shelbyville area. I enjoy church. Sometimes we mess up and make mistakes and we tease each other, and that's what makes us a family, so I enjoy it. I don't enjoy the mistakes, but I enjoy the situations they cause. This morning, I want to talk to you about Ham, Shem, and Japheth at the cross. I wrote down Genesis 10:1 on my message, and then did the bulletin yesterday and wrote it backwards when I put it in the bulletin, so hopefully the closing song's right. Because Adam and Eve sinned, they were banished from Eden. Almost 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came to this sinful place and lived the life that the first couple had failed to live. The evil generation living at that time cried for his blood, and Jesus was crucified. And so Jesus was marched out of the judgment hall and saw for the first time the rough, heavy wooden cross on which he would die. The cross may have not have been brand new. It might have been stained with blood of several other criminals from the past. Once the cross was prepared, the criminal himself had to carry it to the place of execution. Each criminal was placed in the middle of a hollow square of four Roman soldiers. In front marched the lead soldier carrying a board stating the crime that the doomed man was guilty of. This board afterwards was fastened to the cross. They did not take the shortest, but the longest route to the place of death. They traveled every possible street and lane so that as many as possible could see and take warning. It kept crime down to a minimum. When they finally arrived, the cross was laid down flat and the prisoner was laid on top of it. Iron nails almost the size of railroad ties were driven through his hands or wrist. When they chose to drive the nails through the hands, they had to provide additional support or else the weight of the body would tear through the hands. So between the prisoner's leg projected a ledge of wood called a saddle. The cross was not tall, as shown in many pictures. It was shaped like a capital T, and sometimes prisoners hung for as long as a week, slowly dying of hunger and thirst. This morning, I want you to consider three men who were at Calvary the day Jesus died for you and me. The first I want to consider is the Cyrene. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. And I think what I wrote down in the message is not from the King James Version. Mark 15:21 says, "A certain man, Simon, a Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross." Mark 15:22 says, "They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull." Who was this man that helped Jesus carry his cross? He was from Cyrene, which is in Libya, in northern Africa. It's where Gaddafi struggled to survive. Simon was an African. He had saved and scraped to make this trip to the Passover in Jerusalem. He happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. As he stopped to observe, he expressed compassion toward Jesus. The Bible says that they forced him to carry the cross. Because Palestine was an occupied country, any man might be inducted into Roman service at any time. The sign of induction was a tap on the shoulder with the flat of a Roman spear. You did not argue. As Simon carried the cross of Jesus, it changed his life. He watched the events of that Good Friday afternoon, and that day, Simon became a Christian. Jesus fascinated him, and he gave his life to Christ. In Mark 15:21, it says that Simon was the father of Rufus. If you'll look in Romans 16:13, we learn that Rufus was an eminent Christian leader, and his mother was so dear to the Apostle Paul that he could call her his own mother. So Simon must have become a Christian that day there at Golgotha. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, again mentions Simon, says Simeon called Niger, which in the Latin equals black. Apparently, he also became a Christian leader in the early church. You never know what might happen when you expose yourself to Jesus. When you take up the cross, it will change your life. Today, it is our privilege to bear the cross of Christ. Many of you may ask how. I think by constantly submitting to that still small voice, the Holy Spirit, that guides us each day. By remaining faithful to the truth we find in God's Word as we study. And by following Him in the face of insult and unpopularity. By joining His church and by helping to finish the work as a witness to Him. By doing these things, we bear the cross of Christ. The second man I want to consider is the centurion. Not a lot is said about the centurion, but in Mark chapter 15, verses 37 to 39, it says, "With a loud voice, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" Jesus had been on the cross for some time. Intense darkness had covered the whole land for the past 3 hours. Jesus gave up a loud cry and died, and the curtain was torn from top to bottom. The centurion, he had been standing right there in front of Jesus for hours. He was a hard-bitten Roman soldier, the equivalent of a sergeant major today. He was battle-hardened and had seen many men die violent deaths. This Gentile was a Roman from Europe. He was an alien to Israel, and he had grown up believing in many heathen gods. Now today, he was in charge of the supervision and execution of two thieves and a substitute for their leader, Barabbas. He was bound by Roman law to stand near the cross to prevent possible disorder. So he was a keen observer with a ringside seat right in front of Christ. There was something very different about Jesus. He had seen many men die on the cross before. He had no doubt heard many cries of agony and terror, and often been the heated object of many a vile curses. Matthew 27, verse 54 says that he was not alone. Several other soldier guards accompanied him. As they were there, they suddenly experienced a violent earthquake. The crosses rocked back and forth, and those hardened men were terrified. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing," in Luke 23:34. Jesus may have looked right at the centurion and his men as he spoke those words. It deeply touched the heart of this military man. He saw Jesus' calm demeanor and self-control. He felt the rich love coming from Christ toward him. Suddenly he knew that Jesus was divine. He exclaimed, "Truly, this man was God's son." That was from Mark. And in Luke 23, verse 47, it says, "So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" At that moment, I believe the centurion accepted Jesus as his Savior. We don't have any proof of that, but I believe that he did. He acknowledged Christ, and it says he glorified God. I believe one day we'll see the centurion in heaven. And the third man I want to consider is the criminal. Luke 23, verse 32, says two other criminals were also hung on the cross that day. And then verse 39 says, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' And then in verse 40, it says, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? A strange calm came over this man who had been arrested for his role in an uprising against the occupying Romans. He had been a disciple of that evil gangster named Barabbas, but something about Jesus had changed him. Desire of Ages, page 750, says, strange, tender thoughts now sprang up in his heart. He calls to mind all he has heard of Jesus, how he has healed the sick and pardoned sin. He has heard the words of those who believe in Jesus and followed him weeping. As this thief hung there, he read the sign on Christ's cross. It said, King of the Jews. Desire of Ages, page 750, says, he heard passerbys repeat it. The Holy Spirit illuminated his mind, and little by little, the chain of evidence joined together. In Jesus' bruised, mocked, and hanging on the cross, he sees the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Luke 23:42 says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And quickly the answer came right back in a soft, kind, loving voice. Verse 43 says, I tell you the truth today, you will be with me in paradise. Of course, Jesus himself was not even in paradise that day. According to John 20, verse 17, he told Mary, I am not yet ascended to my Father. But the thief did not ascend that day either, but the clear, sure promise was given that very day. Think about how Jesus must have felt about then. Desire of Ages, page 750, says, for long hours of agony, reviling, and mockery have fallen upon the ears of Jesus. His own people had schemed for his death, and one of his own disciples had betrayed him, and most of the rest had deserted him. As he hangs on the cross, there floats up to him the sound of jeers and curses. With longing heart, he had listened for some expression of faith from his own disciples. All he heard were criticism and curses from the crowd. How grateful was the utterance of faith and love from the dying thief. This poor thief upon the brink of eternity calls Jesus Lord. These three men that we've considered today offered what little recompense Jesus received for all his suffering that day. Jesus saw in the response of the Cyrene from Africa and the thief the first fruits of a great multitude saved by grace that freely flowed from the cross. He could see that the centurion would also give his heart to God. Three conversions, the last hours of his life. Before we gain eternal life, we must do what the thief did. We must carry the cross to the place of execution and die to self there with Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 2:19-20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The old self, the old stubborn will, the old love for sin and our love for sinful pleasure of this life, our hatred for our neighbors, all these must be crucified with him so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin, according to Romans 6:6. What Jesus did on the cross was the most valuable thing in the world. To live our short life of 65 or 80 years and not accept Jesus as our Savior would be the greatest loss of all. On that dark day, the last day of Jesus' ministry before his death, there were three men who accepted Jesus as their Savior. This must have given Jesus hope and help to make his suffering worthwhile. Three men, three converts. They represented the totality of the total human race. They originated from three continents, land masses known to the world at that time. The centurion was from Italy, which is in Europe. The Cyrene was from Libya, which is in Africa, and the criminal from Israel, which is in Asia. If you look at the ancestries of these men and their family tree, each of them came from the line of Noah's three boys, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. The centurion was a descendant of Japheth from Europe. This son of Noah started 14 nations. The Cyrene was a descendant of Ham from Africa. This son of Noah started 30 nations. And the criminal, he was a descendant of Shem from Asia. This son of Noah started 26 nations. In the last moments of Jesus' life, he became a savior to one from each known area of the world. They in turn were the first fruits of thousands and millions who will all be together in heaven someday. The centurion contemplated the cross. The Cyrene carried the cross, and the criminal was crucified on the cross. After the great flood, Noah's three sons and families clustered together on the plain of Mesopotamia. Here they forgot God. They united their efforts to build the great Tower of Babel, so God scattered them over all the earth. Three great races, black, white, and Asian, have lived in distrust and envy and strife ever since. One of the great miracles of the cross is this: the way was provided to unite at Calvary what was divided at I urge you today to come to the foot of the cross, contemplate the cross, carry your cross, and crucify your old self on that cross. Give your life to Christ and start the new year outright. Won't you accept this free gift of eternal life which Christ provided for you and me over 2,000 years ago? Jesus is coming soon. I pray you will.